And we are live, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in here today. Sean Haney and Kelvin Heppner of realagriculture.com. It feels like we've been wearing these headsets all day today because we have. it's been that kind of news day, and a lot to break down here. We just finished the media presser. We had Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bebeau address the press from across the country focused on agriculture. There was a few mainstream there as well from the Globe and Mail, for example. But Kelvin, I guess give us the synopsis. We have some industry guests that are going to be joining us here to give their perspective. Canadian Cattlemen's Association, as well as I think the Grain Growers of Canada is going to join us as well. What did you hear there? What were the outcomes in terms of possible changes to BRM?
So that, yeah, BRM, agri-stability changes, was the focus for this whole meeting. The first session took place a week ago. Today was the final session, virtual meeting between all the ag ministers across the country. Farm groups have been calling for years now, and it's especially ramped up here in the last year leading into this meeting, calling for an increase to the trigger and compensation rate for agri-stability from 70% to 85%, and to remove the reference margin limit under the program. So we've been kind of following discussions between ministers throughout the week, and we had heard that Federal Ag Minister Marie-Claude Bebeau was willing to increase the federal government's contribution to agri-stability and therefore offer some of these improvements that farm groups have been asking for. We've also been hearing from sources that several provinces, Ontario, Quebec, and BC, were willing and on board with increasing agri-stability terms, making some of these improvements. And so we actually just heard some of the details now from Federal Ag Minister Marie-Claude Bebeau on what her pitch was to the provinces. And so what she proposed was to drop the reference margin limit as requested by farm groups, and to increase the compensation rate, not the trigger, from 70% to 80%, or increase it up to 80%. So altogether here, let me dig up the numbers. Of course, this just came out, so we're still working on getting all the info together in one place here. But yeah, according to the minister, she said dropping the reference margin limit alone would have increased the amount of funding available to farmers by over 30%. And then to increase the compensation rate from 70 to 80% would have increased overall support to farmers by more than 50%. So some significant dollar amounts. And I don't think this is a disappointing result coming out of this meeting for farm groups, certainly. But when we looked at the odds of what the outcome would be coming out of this meeting, I don't think this is a huge surprise.
I was hoping for more drama. I was hoping for the changes the farm groups were asking for, but I we'll get to it in a little bit here. But I was hoping for a little bit more firmer minister today from I'm talking about Minister Bebeau, and quite frankly too, I personally, this is me talking, I was disappointed the Prairie provinces, that those ministers that are holding this up weren't there to ask questions of the press. And the press made, there was there was a couple questions where people actually expressed that disappointment. I'm not the only one feeling that way.
Minister Hardiman from Ontario, who was hosting the meeting, was on the call as well. I believe Quebec's ag minister, yes, was on the call as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of the Prairie ministers represented. And that's something that we've heard is a trend when it comes to these federally organized or involved meetings here over the last year. And so, yeah, any changes to agri-stability require approval from 7 out of the 10 provinces with at least 60% of the participants in agri-stability or in the program. And so to reach that number, that consensus, they need one of the Prairie provinces to get on board. There was some thought that that Saskatchewan wasn't maybe as firmly opposed as Manitoba and Alberta, but obviously Saskatchewan hasn't gotten on board yet.
Okay, we got a couple industry guests that are with us. They're in the green room. They're ready to go and provide their perspective. This is exactly what we were talking about. We want to do live streaming. This is the kind of day that we Kelvin and I sort of, you know, we sort of imagined. So okay, let's bring in our industry guests. First, I have here, going to bring him in. It is Brady Stednicki from the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. And I also have here, if I can get it right, Aaron Gerlich from the Grain Growers of Canada. So, well, team, Aaron, let's start with you. What's your reaction on the no deal?
Well, it's certainly one of disappointment. I think that as much as I want to start maybe by acknowledging Minister Bibeau's efforts, I think, to put a proposal on the table. So I think we thank her for her leadership in that respect. My question would be, why was the proposal only put in front of the provinces today, on Friday? All of the ministers have been well aware of a collective position on agri stability for over a year and a half now.
Yeah.
So why they have waited until the 11th hour to put a proposal in front of the provincial ministers is beyond me.
Well, and yeah, one of the things was, Kelvin, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of my things I was wondering was, what is the timeline for the provinces to get back to the federal minister? And that is maybe a bit of a, it's kind of left in the open. Is that the best way to describe it?
What we've heard is the offer is still on the table. I don't know if there's an end date to it, but that it is still on the table coming out of the meeting.
Okay. Brady, from the Canadian Cattlemen's Association, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would echo what Aaron mentioned there from our perspective. You know, certainly encouraged that there was an offer put on the table today that recognized a lot of what we were calling for, especially with the reference margin limit and the inequities that's put under a large segment of our industry when the cow-calf producers, you know, just not being treated fairly under the program, you know, in comparison to the whole industry. So, you know, encouraged to see that and then a proposal put in place. I think we've been doing this, the BRM review, for, you know, 5 or 6 years, and there's never been a proposal. So it's nice to see that. Would have liked to have seen a full agreement today, but I think the next few weeks are going to be key for working with all of the provinces to discuss the proposal, the specific proposal, and, you know, hopefully come to a resolution. You know, I'm hoping here still within 2020, so those retroactive changes can come into effect for this program year.
Okay, but let's go on Aaron's thread a little bit. Like, there was no shockers in what supposedly was proposed for the first time today. So, like, the provincial ministers go back to the province and talk to their premiers, and like what is like the big shocker in terms of what she was saying? We've been talking about some of these rumor changes for months now. I don't know. It just seems like it's another kind of kick the can. Is that, you guys answer that if you want to, but that's sort of how it feels.
Yeah, we it would have been great to see it today. There's no doubt. But we, you know, we've had meetings with the provinces, all the provinces on these changes before, and went as far as doing modeling work. I know that Grain Growers did some as well with MNP on what these changes mean for an impact on an operation. And we're going to have to circle back and continue to do that. You know, because like you said, everybody knows how important these changes are. We've been talking about them for a long time, and they're still going to be a key issue for us going forward on the RML. And, you know, I guess what was kind of newer today was the compensation over the trigger. Would have liked to have heard, you know, something on payment caps as well, especially from the feedlot sector. Yeah. So that's something we'll continue to be raising as well.
Yeah. Aaron?
Yeah, I think I would add to that, you know, it takes considerable effort to build consensus. And I think we know that as a sector because we are so completely aligned on this one particular set of asks. We have worked together across the sector to build alignment. And we know that takes time and that takes effort. I would have hoped to have seen the same from our government partners. It takes time to build consensus. And I think that it's disappointing to see that after well over a year and a half now since the last FPT where this issue was discussed back in Quebec City in July, that we haven't taken that time to build consensus on this issue. And then, you know, maybe just to add to Brady's points, I think the one maybe surprise on our end is that the Ag Growth Coalition has collectively been working towards the removal of the RML and the change to the trigger in particular. So it was surprising to me to hear that Minister Bibeau's preferred proposal was an increase in the compensation rate and not the trigger. Now, I don't know from a livestock perspective what that looks like, but I know from a grain sector perspective, we would prefer to see a change to the trigger point as opposed to the compensation rate. So that was a bit of a surprise to me.
Kelvin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something to note, that it was that she referred to the compensation rate, not the trigger. I think sometimes we have maybe mixed those up in some of these discussions around agri stability. I was just going to ask, why do you think the federal government is so set on maintaining the 60-40 funding splits? That seems to be pretty sacred to them.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
I don't know. I can speculate to say that perhaps this has been in place now for some time, and they may want to honor the format that has been in place for a number of years now. We're going into negotiations with CAP 2 shortly, and I think maybe they want to take this model and apply that model to CAP 2. If any changes were made now, I don't know if there would be an expectation that those would be carried through. I know we were certainly hoping for the potential for some federal leadership here and a little flexibility to ensure that may be one option on the table to help bring everyone closer together, but that's not the case.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think it's strict, mostly about precedent and, going into the renegotiation of the next, CAP successor, I'm sure that was top of mind.
You guys know more of the history than I do. Do we take anything from the fact that the provincial premier or provincial ag ministers and weren't on the call here, the summary call, or is that typical?
I think my experience is it's typical.
Okay.
Often the host, maybe a couple other ministers. Depends what they want to talk about.
Well, their press people are texting me saying I want to do an interview. I'm like, well, you should just show up for the media call. But we'll get some of their input here as the hours progress. So, what now? Because farm groups, yourselves and others, have put a load of time into really working towards this delayed meeting. Now what is does it? Does it fall in terms of where your priorities are? Do you try to find some other things that maybe you can find some wins on? Because this one just seems to be like we have beat it from all sides, even though the provinces are going to go back. I'm showing a little bit of my skepticism there. But what now, Aaron?
I'm disappointed to see that a deadline wasn't attached to this. I expect that perhaps the proposal should have been put on the table long before the 11th hour. And I think that weeks should have been taken in advance of the FPT to determine whether or not that was a saleable offer. But I think at this point right now, I think if we needed any additional time, we certainly should have attached a deadline. So I'm disappointed to see that we don't have a firm date by which to get a response from anyone who may need to seek permission to proceed.
Yeah. I'm same. Comments. I'm hopeful that this time frame to recircle on the issue is quick. It's going to be reflective of the 2020 program year. I think one new aspect of this discussion was the final report that came out of the House of Commons Ag Committee study, which did reference all of the recommendations that the broad industries made on agri stability. And even going beyond agri stability to things like the advanced payments program, livestock tax deferral, Western livestock price insurance, and expanding that in Eastern Canada. So, agri stability is a very key program that we're going to continue to focus on. And in general, I think just moving forward, BRM is going to be top of mind, agri stability and other programs as well.
Yeah. Well, Kelvin, we're doing our best to impersonate how farm bill negotiations in the U.S. go from time to time. It takes years, and they never stop negotiating the farm bill, and this kind of feels that sort of way, Kelvin.
Yeah, and I think that probably was part of what their meetings were about in terms of discussing the next framework as well. 2023 is going to be here before we know it, and with the rate at which we're making change here, it probably should, those discussions should be happening already. But,
go ahead, Calvin.
I was just going to say, for Brady and Aaron, do you focus more of your energy on the provincial governments now in terms of getting them to move, or is there still equal pressure on both levels of government in terms of finding a way to meet in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, I think we focus on all levels of government still. Obviously, there's going to be, and, you know, we knew coming in, you know, that there was provinces that have made changes already and that are ready to move forward. And, you know, certainly we'll be, you know, working with our provincial members in those provinces that haven't taken a step forward. So whether it's the prairies or far out east, and you know, continue dialogue with the federal government. As I said earlier, it was great to see, you know, it was encouraging to see that they're ready to move forward and support the industry and what we're asking for. And Aaron, you know, Aaron explained it well about the challenges of building consensus. And I think we've got to be a key role in trying to get that consensus across the finish line.
I agree, Brady. I think that there still remains a responsibility on both levels of government to get this done. I appreciate the federal government taking that first step to put a proposal on the table. There's certainly an onus on the provinces now to do what they need to do to get there. But at the end of the day, it's ultimately a responsibility on both levels of government to do whatever they have to.
Yeah.
To wrap this up.
Wrap it up indeed. And that's the part here is, you know, if it is important and those changes are important, we think that we can make the changes before the next before 2023, it's going to take continued pressure, but some sort of reason for the provinces to sort of accept it. And Aaron, do you think that maybe the rise in grain prices here in the fall sort of took some of that pressure off of the provinces to like they're sort of being reactionary instead of being proactive, the pressure's off a little bit?
I don't know, but if that's the case, I think it's a very short-sighted view to take.
Yeah. Brady, because I think right now, you know, if you look at the livestock sector, there's still some, it's definitely not like the broadacre side of our industry right now. And obviously, you know, pork, your sister protein is really still in very much a struggle, but cattle has its challenges too. So it's from your standpoint, it's got to be disappointing.
Yeah. No, definitely we're not out of the woods and there's always risks to manage. You know, and I think, again, with agri stability, we are continuing to change this program so that it's going to, you know, probably bring on the subsector of the cattle industry has the lowest participation, and that's the cow-calf sector. And just almost make that line linear in terms of what, you know, a drop in revenue it's going to take in order to have the program kick in and provide support. And you know, it's a tool that we want, I guess, to work better for the part of our industry that, you know, has looked at it for the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years and said that it's just not kicking in and being responsive when it needs to be.
Okay, well, hey, listen, Brady and Aaron, I really appreciate you joining us here. We threw this together very quickly, which is kind of the real agriculture way. let's be honest, we all know that. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yep, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Kelvin. So we've heard from the industry stakeholders. Okay. There's frustration. You can hear it in Aaron's.
That's kind of the feeling coming out of the meeting. Yeah.
It's a little bit demoralizing. I feel that way a little bit. As I watched it, I'm like, just like, man, everybody's saying some of the right things and trying to be that we're trying to, you know, there's still opportunity for consensus. But it honestly feels like we have beat this pinata absolutely from every single angle. It feels that way. I don't know. I think there's got to be some you heard in Aaron's voice. It's pretty frustrated is probably the nicest way to put it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I know the federal government has certainly come out and they haven't directly blamed the Prairie provinces for blocking this, but they've sort of laid the groundwork so that everybody can read between the lines that that's their view on how this has unfolded. I think the Prairie provinces, we have yet to hear from their ag ministers coming out of this meeting, but they're certainly going to say that they don't have the provincial funds for this and that their provinces, especially Saskatchewan, we've heard David Merritt over the past number of months emphasize that Saskatchewan would bear more of the cost than any other province in terms of making these changes. So yeah, I guess, I don't know. We're going to have to hear from the Prairie ministers kind of explaining their perspective and defending their decision to get in the way of these changes that that would have made a difference to agri stability. And I know a lot of farmers are just negative on the program as a whole because it hasn't worked. And so they're just like, agri stability, why are we even bothering working on this? But perhaps with some of these changes, it would be valuable again.
Well, and we know this.
Or it would be. We know.
Yeah, that. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's going to be, we're hearing it from multiple, you know, stakeholders that we're going to have a major revamp on the new program. It will, like, and maybe that's where the effort should go. It's okay. Let's spend.
How do we get to that though? If we can't agree to these little changes,
well,
I guess they're not little, but smaller in terms of
they feel
like
small.
If we just blow it up and start from scratch, that's a lot of work to negotiate something completely new.
Yeah, it is.
It compared to negotiating these changes.
Oh, I really think that how long can the problem? We're going to get in. I'm hoping that we can get an interview with at least two of the three Prairie ministers. I know one of them we hopefully going to get this afternoon, and we'll post it at realagriculture.com. But the thing is here that is the excuse good enough that, hey, we have no money? And maybe it is, because there's a lot of stuff going on. COVID has really destroyed the finances, but the federal government has no money either. Like, they're all out of money.
The federal government will emphasize, we've heard it from Minister Bibeau at the Ag Committee yesterday and in several other places already, and I think we're going to hear this as a regular talking point from the federal government, that out of every dollar spent on COVID relief programs, I haven't seen third-party math on it, but what they're claiming is that 82 cents of every dollar on COVID relief programs in Canada has come from the federal level. So they are saying, thanks, Lindsay. they're saying that the federal government has carried a lot of the burden of COVID and that the provinces shouldn't be using that as an excuse, or that's what they're implying. So, but we've heard Manitoba's ag minister has said that, why would we put more money into farm risk management programs now when you look at what's happening in other sectors like retail and hospitality and restaurants and things like that? So that's the argument that we've heard from Blaine Peterson at some point. He has also thrown around the idea of taking money out of Agri Invest and moving that into Agri Stability, which I think many farmers would not necessarily appreciate that, because Agri Invest has certainly been the program that has the highest rating in terms of how well it's worked for farmers.
Here's the other part, okay? So we have focused a lot on the Prairie provinces saying no, but there are provinces that said yes. And so I am very curious what Minister Hardiman, sitting there in Ontario hosting this meeting, what he's thinking right now, because, you know, he wanted to deliver for the province, for the farmers in the province of Ontario, and say, hey, we've really fixed this. And of course, you know the pork sector, very, very important in Ontario. He's got nothing to come out of this meeting. And so in some ways, I thought we would maybe hear a little bit more, and we may hear it over the next couple of days, but, you know, the Prairie's holding up the rest of the country. We're going to hear more about that, I think.
Minister Hardiman was pretty diplomatic, though, in the press conference. He certainly didn't throw any blame at any of his counterparts. I know he kind of alluded to this being the first time that the provinces had been able to see a concrete plan from the federal government. And this was the first time that the federal government had, quote, laid the cards on the table and asked the provinces if they want to play, kind of thing. So he certainly didn't throw any blame. Maybe he's hopeful that that a little bit of time and negotiating among provincial legislatures is going to get this done. But I'm not sure that any of this was really a surprise, as we mentioned before. So
no,
yeah,
I agree. Want to encourage everybody to go to realagriculture.com over the weekend. We're going to definitely be having more as we hear from stakeholders and some of those ministers for and against what happened and what transpired today. And of course, Kelvin and I and the entire team at Real Agriculture, you know, working all of our contacts to make sure that we get you the latest in the information and the news that you need on this topic. If you are concerned about where we go with business risk management in the future. So, Calvin, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
We got a story to write. We got to go. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Cheers. Have a great weekend, everybody.